Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome on in, folks, to our Tuesday, October 28th edition of Sports Talk. We're getting ready for the Saints Hour coming up at 7 p.m., where the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, will be talking with VP and assistant GM Jeff Ireland, as well as Saints linebacker Isaiah Stallbird. We'll also be talking to this hour Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champ, about the black and gold switch to Tyler Shuck at quarterback over Spencer Rattler. But first, we're going to be talking some Pelicans action. For that, we get to a man you see and hear a lot of, Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast, joining us now. Jake, always appreciate the time, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on to talk some hoops despite the 0-3 start here.
Yeah, it's been a rough go for the start of the season for this Bird gang right now. And your impressions last night with that, you know, the slaughter in the Smoothie King Center. Boston Celtics just shooting threes, and it seemed like the Pelicans couldn't hit anything last night.
No, I mean, that's been their big problem. I literally just recorded my show for tomorrow, and one of the things that jumped out at me is this is the worst shooting team in the league right now. They're missing shots at the rim, and if you're looking for a reason for optimism, is they shouldn't be doing that badly all season long, and things should even out. And if they just start making their shots, this team will look significantly better. But that was embarrassing at home, I think, last night. And I think that's the type of game that needs to be a wake-up call for this Pelicans team to at least have conversations around making some bigger changes right now. You know, they traded for Jordan Poole to kind of be their instant offense when Zion Williamson was going to miss time. And we knew he'd miss some time this year. This was your first true test against a tired Celtics team who was on the second night of a back-to-back, had flown into New Orleans, you know, at 2-3 in the morning that night. And you had an opportunity to get your first win of the season and came out as flat as you possibly could. It kind of showed that maybe the criticism around the Jordan Poole trade was correct. You wanted Derek Queen to provide some level of Zion Williamson insurance. He looked like a rookie in that game. And as this team has kind of been trying to win now, but also take a developmental timeline approach, rookies don't usually help you win now. And you saw that from Jeremiah Fears, who I think has looked genuinely good this season, but he was one of 11 from the field last night. You know, this is a team that doesn't know what they're trying to do right now. That needs to set off some alarm bells within the franchise as they kind of pick a direction that they need to go in. And it was on full display why they need to do that last night.
It's not getting easier, Jake, either. If you look at this upcoming slate at Denver, at the Clippers, at the Thunder, back-to-back-to-back road games. I mean, this is a team that is 0-3 right now. They're the only winless team in the Western Conference. I was telling that to Steve earlier. Even the Jazz scooped up that win in their first game of the season against, you know, I think it was the Clippers. So, once again, 0-3 start and a really, really tough slate ahead. This has got to be the wake-up call that you had mentioned, because, once again, it does not get easier anytime soon.
No, you know, look, the fortunes can change. It's 0-3, and they're staring down a tough three-game road trip, but you win games in the NBA you're not supposed to, and that can kind of right the ship here a little bit. So I think they're kind of viewing it through that lens. But I do think you need to have tough conversations here. Clearly what you went into the season trying to do and who you were trying to be has not worked through the first part of the season. You know, even when Zion Williamson is on the bench, the offense has fallen off of a cliff here. They have the worst half-court offense in the league. And again, some of it is just due to poor shooting, and Trey Murphy isn't going to shoot 22.2% from three all season long. But the team you thought you were building hasn't shown up, and I don't know if they're going to show up. And the other thing I think to factor into all of this is, do you trust them to show up? Do you trust this team to get right and figure it out kind of based off of years of past data? And the answer to that, truthfully, is no. And so Joe Dumars talked about it with Zion Williamson in the offseason and the change in approach and what they were working with Zion to, you know, get him to be the best version of himself. You know, he used that definition of insanity, doing the same thing and expecting different results. It feels like the Pelicans are doing that right now. He was meaning that with Zion Williamson, but this feels like what the team is doing right now. And so if you want different results, you have to do things differently. What that is, whether it's firing head coach Willie Green, whether it's making a dramatic trade right now, I couldn't tell you for sure. But you need to be figuring out how to do things differently, because the first three games have been pretty telling about this franchise.
Jake, you're talking about Zion Williamson. He's out right now with the last night, definitely with that foot contusion, questionable for tomorrow's game. I got to at least give the Pelicans credit for giving his access to the media today. But, man, just really disappointing considering he looks in great shape right now. And, another injury for him has him out the lineup so early in the season.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at this, like, your point is very important here. Normally when Zion's hurt, he doesn't talk to the media. And he gave a level of transparency today after practice that we don't hear from him. And I heard y'all play the clip before I came on here. There's something to be said for that. But at the same point, you know, and that does show maybe some things are different. But at the same point, I don't think people care anymore. It's about results, right? You know, you can often talk about process over results and that sort of thing. But this is a results-oriented business, and it means you need to play and you need to win games. You're not exactly getting that from Zion Williamson. And while this doesn't sound like it's going to be a significant injury, the fact that he just missed any time, even if it doesn't sound like something major and they're taking a cautious approach, that's fine. That should be what you can do. But the past track record of this team has just basically left everybody with no patience for it. And I think they need to do something to kind of change the perception around this team right now. But it does sound like he'll be back to playing soon. And when he's been on the court, he has looked pretty good. And when this Pelicans team is playing, you know, relatively well, they look like they're close. Those games against the San Antonio Spurs in overtime, obviously winnable. Same for the game against the Memphis Grizzlies. They could easily be 2-1 right now, very easily. So there's moments when they feel like they are close. But I think the problem then comes to, well, it's just the same old team, and this is just what we've seen every year before, so we don't feel like they'll actually figure it out.
You know, Jake, I wanted to ask you about Trey Murphy, because I think, like, the numbers on paper aren't awful, but Steve and I talked about this off-air. He just hasn't really been aggressive to start the year. And Trey Murphy in the past, Jake, you know this, he gets going kind of late in the season and has played some of his best basketball in, you know, February to April and stuff like that. But in a year where there were a lot of high expectations for Trey, and once again, we're three games into the season, so this can easily turn around because he's been cold from three to start the season. He's 4 of 18 so far this year. But in a season with such high expectations where you're hoping that he would make the all-star leap and everything like that, because it's in the cards for this player, he's very talented, it just feels like he hasn't necessarily been aggressive in these first three games so far. I just want to get your thoughts on him.
Yeah, you know, I think you saw some of this in preseason, and this preseason was going to be really important for New Orleans, right? Like, this was the year where you couldn't come in and get off to a slow start and, oh, hey, look, with 0-3 here. They needed to really use preseason to their full advantage, and that trip to Australia, while maybe great for team bonding, wasn't putting you against NBA-level competition. So were those two games really a good way to kind of figure this team out, or were they right, fool's gold in a sense? And then in your two preseason games against NBA teams, they didn't do a full dress rehearsal. You even saw the Houston Rockets against the Pelicans in that final game, or the Orlando Magic, I think it was, in the final game, played their starters like 30-plus minutes. Like, it was a dress rehearsal, and New Orleans played theirs 20. And I think that's the type of thing that puts you a little bit behind the eight ball with it. So while Zion Williamson has good chemistry with Trey Murphy, and so does Jordan Poole, Trey Murphy and Jordan Poole don't seem to have the type of chemistry you want together from them, right? Those are the two guys that should have, in theory, a lethal two-man game when Zion Williamson is on the bench and they can carry the offense. And the offense has fallen off a cliff when Zion Williamson sits. you know, you mentioned how Trey Murphy gets going later in the season. That's because he's been injured the past 2 years. He hasn't been healthy to start the year. He hasn't been available to start the year. This was the year where he is. So it shouldn't follow the same pattern of him being off to a slow start. But you can also see from the Pelicans' approach to preseason how that's kind of impacting them right now, as they're still kind of working through some chemistry stuff, through some growing pains, and figuring things out. And this just was not a season where you could figure things out over the first couple of games. You needed to be ready to go for game one, and this team doesn't really feel like they've been in that position.
Tomorrow, Jake, the team's on the road in Denver. We know a tough matchup there. Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic. What do the Pels have to do to show us a better showing tomorrow, at least in Denver?
You know, I think it's going to come down to two things. One is just make your shots. My job can be easy at times. I can just come on here and say it's a make or miss league and the Pelicans have missed more than they've made. If that switches, they're going to look like a different team and they'll win games. It's truly that simple here. You know, I think the other thing they really need to look at is getting stops on the defensive side of the ball. Right now, their half-court defense actually looks pretty decent. The problem is teams are running against them, getting into fast break opportunities, man advantages, and just scoring easy buckets. And New Orleans is doing nothing to limit that. You can see with Nikola Jokic and the passing ability and the defensive rebounding from that Denver Nuggets team and the outlet passes he can make, they're going to run against you. And New Orleans needs to find a way to start to stop the ball here. And that's something that they've struggled with this year. This is also an effort thing. You're seeing teams run off of makes against New Orleans. Usually when you make a shot, the opponent needs to get the ball, inbound the ball. It allows your defense to get back and get set, and you force them to play in the half court. But teams are running even after New Orleans makes a shot. That's effort. That's a pride thing. They need to sort that out. If they can do that, there's a good team here. Will they reach that potential remains to be seen, but they need to start making shots and start playing a little bit better defense.
And then before we let you run, Jake, the NBA Cup is starting up very, very quickly. First, I guess this is a two-part question. Your thoughts on what the NBA Cup has kind of provided to the regular season, if you like it, if you don't like it, and then also that matchup against the Clippers that's going to be happening on Friday.
So I love it. Look, gimmicks work on me, so I'm all for it. I think the courts are fun. It just does feel a little bit different, and you're seeing teams try and win. And that means they're going to play their players. So as a way to kind of reduce some load management, make star players play, this I think has actually been a very big success. And I think when you also look at New Orleans in their group with the Dallas Mavericks, the Clippers, and the Lakers, that's a competitive bunch. This is going to be the real measuring stick for New Orleans. If you don't win a game in your group play, you need to make big changes, right? Like, that's when they need to kind of make a decision on head coach Willie Green. You know, the Los Angeles Clippers are one of the best shooting teams at the rim right now. They're shooting like something like 85% at the rim. It's going to come down to defense, rim protection, and not letting them just get easy buckets inside. That's going to present a big challenge for New Orleans with the center rotation right now that's still a little bit banged up, even though Misi is playing. You got some good minutes from DeAndre Jordan, but I don't think you want to rely on him so much. Are they going to find a way to limit the points in the paint? Because that's what that one is going to come down to.
Jake, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much, and hopefully we get into the win column soon. We got enough problems going on with LSU and the Saints right now.
It's not great. Tulane's holding it down, so
yes,
roll
sir.
Wave, at least in that
roll
regard.
Wave. Appreciate you, Jake. Thank you, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Locked On Pelicans podcast host Jake Madison. You can check out his work wherever you find podcasts, YouTube. We're going to take a break, come back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL, folks.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, folks. We are now happy to be joined by Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champion Saints pregame and postgame analyst. Scott, how you been doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good.
It's been a rough start for this black and gold bunch. I know you were in the dome Sunday watching the game against the Bucks, and just overall, from the get, sad showing just to see it a pretty empty venue. A lot of fans not showing up for the game, and I get it right now. The team's losing. We're just not used to seeing, though, the dome that empty to me.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You know, we got done with the pregame show, and then, you know, just usually there's kind of an aura in the air, and it was just very stale in there, even outside the dome. You know, just it's kind of eerie not to see everybody out there and walking in the game. But, you know, I was surprised. I felt kind of confident that it would at least be a close game. I thought the Bucks coming off a loss to Detroit on a short week, Mike Evans gets hurt there without Hassan Reddick, a good pass rusher, Bucky Irving, their running back. I really felt like it was going to be a 20-17 type game. So it was disappointing. I think the defense showed up. The offense just did not. And it's been like that all year. Like, you know, one part of the three units kind of plays well, but the other parts don't. And you can't win games in the NFL like that.
One of the biggest issues is obviously the lack of getting into the end zone. The Saints are just having problems putting points on the board. We know Kellen Moore is considered an offensive mastermind, but we just haven't seen it so far this season. And I'm just curious for you, what have you seen from this offense besides those pre-snap penalties that keep killing them that they just need to improve on?
Yeah, you know, the pre-snap penalties are frustrating because it's hard enough to get first downs. This team is not very good on third, and they've been in third and long way too much, inexperienced at the quarterback position. I think everything kind of for this offense goes back to me is there's really no identity. Every single week, you never really know what you're going to get. It's like they're grasping for straws, trying to produce anything. A lot of short routes in the passing game to protect the quarterback. There really is no play-action game because the run game has been non-existent all year. Outside the Buffalo game, where they ran the ball pretty well against that Buffalo defense, they're just, to me, for this offense to turn this season around, they have got to find a way to run the football. And I know that's not easy. You know, Alvin's in year 9. Kendra Miller, I think they expect to have a big part of the running game in this offense, is out. So the running game is going to be hard, but you have to. I mean, especially with the young quarterbacks and now Tyler getting his first start, you got to find a way to run the football and get ahead of the sticks and get into third and short. Otherwise, it's going to just be more of the same.
You know, Scott, I wanted to ask you about Tyler getting the first start. And, you know, listening to Kellen Moore talk about it, he basically said that they were going to make the decision as early as possible and then, you know, give the whoever they picked as many reps throughout the week. So it's going to be Tyler Shuck making his NFL starting debut. I know that he's played, obviously, he had a couple snaps against the Seahawks, and then he threw the ball 30 times against the Buccaneers this past week. Just want to get your early kind of impressions of Shuck and what you saw from him against the Buccaneers, and then going up against this Rams defense, which, you know, Scott, will preview with you here just in a second, but it is a awesome unit, especially up front. That front seven for the LA Rams is just nasty. And we talked with Mark Schlereth last hour. He basically called it baptism by fire for Shuck going up against this great defense. But that's a lot of NFL defenses as well. So your thoughts on Shuck and this upcoming matchup against a good Rams defense?
Yeah, first and foremost, I think the time to make the move was perfect time. I think it needed to be done. I liked starting Spencer at the start of the season. I felt like he had earned that right to be the starter. He played pretty well early on in the season, not turning the football over. I think we all kind of sat there and said, unless he looks like Pat Mahomes and he's just the reason they're winning games, he can't turn the football over. And I think once the turnover started to come along, because he was kind of a game manager, that made it easy, you know, for Kellen to say, listen, it's time just to see if the young kids got it. And I think it's a perfect time because, you know, you're more likely going to have a high pick in the draft. You need to know. You need to give Spencer half the season. You need to give Tyler half the season. And it's got to be meaningful reps. And it's going to be a tough matchup. No, there's no doubt. The Rams are good. But, hey, you invest a lot of draft capital in the offensive line. They need to protect these quarterbacks. You know, you throw 30 attempts against the Buccaneers, but it's a lot like Spencer's attempts of 40 attempts a game. Is the ball's coming out really fast. They're bubble screens. They're quick passes. There's got to be there's got to be some attention on the running game. There's got to be some play action pass so that we can get Shaheed and Olave behind the secondary. And I think that's how you really help Tyler, is finding a way to run the football more efficiently. And it's going to be a tough go for him against that defense. But it's also, I think, a little bit, you throw him in the deep end of the pool and you say, hey, let's see how you react with these bright lights on you against a really good defense. And we're going to give you a couple games. Rams, Panthers, you played some against the Bucks, and then we're going to have a bye week to figure out what you do well, what you don't do well. And I'm interested to see how the game plan changes with Tyler in there at quarterback.
Scott, you mentioned with the run game, obviously so important. And I'm just wondering, is AK okay? Right now we know he's dealing with that ankle issue. He's kind of been limited at practices. I haven't really noticed him being gimpy in games. You hate to think that he's hit the wall, you know, as a 29, 30-year-old running back right now. But what is the issue with him? Is it more of the offensive line having issues, or do you think some of the play calling as well?
Yeah, I think they're trying to figure things out. Obviously, I was in year nine. As a running back, he's had a lot of hits on his body, so you're going to lose a step or two. I think they had really high hopes for Kendrick coming into the year, hoping he could stay healthy. You'll see more Taysom probably playing some running back. But they got to figure out, especially with the injuries, what to do at that position and how to create something in the running game. But, you know, take that running back position out of it. You can't really address that until the offseason, in my opinion, draft and free agency. Right now, it's about the offensive line. You haven't really seen the offensive line, especially when you watch up close. You don't see them moving the line of scrimmage. You don't see them on double teams, them just road grading people, moving linebackers when they get to the second level. And so I think that's probably been the most frustrating part of the running game, is just they haven't established an identity and an attitude. Like, when we want to run the ball, we can run the ball. And I think that's been a little frustrating for Coach Moore and everybody in the building, that the offensive line isn't moving people at the line of scrimmage.
You know, Scott, last week we had Mickey on the Saints Hour with Mike Haas, and Mickey had talked a little bit about the trade deadline and that they're not in the business of trading good players, but, you know, if the price is right, they'll at least consider different options. The NFL trade deadline is a week from today. So, you know, that was 2 weeks ago, and we'll see if they make any moves. Steve was just telling me off air as we were in the break that moves are starting to be made around the NFL right now. You know, if you look ahead at this team, they're 1-7 right now, and Scott, the biggest issue for me is that they only have 5 draft picks for next year, and for a rebuilding roster, you'd like it to be closer to double than that. Just want to get your thoughts on if you expect the Saints to be really active at this trade deadline to just add those extra pieces for, once again, what is a rebuilding team?
Well, I think so. I think with the record where it is now, you're going to, sadly, you're going to have the opportunity to probably be picking in the top 5. You might even be the number 1 pick. And I agree with you. The way you get out of this fast is you have a lot of draft picks and you get a lot of new faces, a lot of young, new blood in the building. And you're going to miss on some of those guys, but you're also going to hit on some of those guys. And I think a big time draft with a lot of picks is what you want. And, you know, in the perfect world, you know, Tyler comes in and lights it up and everybody says, wow, that's our quarterback of the future. And even if you end up with the number 1 overall pick, you don't have to take quarterback. You can trade down. And it's like the Bears did a couple years ago where they collected all those first round draft picks when they traded out of the number 1 spot. There is a lot of value in those high draft picks that everybody's trying to get up to get their players. So I think I like the position they're in as far as obtaining more picks, because I agree with you. They need more picks. And I would definitely be a seller. If somebody came at the trade deadline and was willing to trade for some of these guys who are on the trade block, I think you really have to look at it. Because my other thing is, a lot of these guys in the locker room, they're great. It's a great group of guys. There's good leadership. But at the same time, you haven't been in the playoffs in a few years. You haven't had the most success. Sometimes you need some new blood to circulate back through the locker room and different guys.
Scott, you mentioned, you know, veteran leadership in that locker room now. How do those guys maintain a positive attitude with this 1-7 record looming over them?
It's tough. And, you know, I think, yeah, we do our post-game show after the game and kind of wrap things up. And so we have an opportunity to, you know, guys come out and meet up with their families on the field and stuff. And it affects them. They're competitors, especially you see guys like DeMario and Cam, and it's tough. I was lucky enough in my position towards the end of my career, you know, we weren't ever, you know, with 1-win team and you don't really know which direction you're going to go. You're just kind of playing the season out. So it's tough, especially for these older players who have been highly productive players, been great leaders. And, you know, just talking to some of the young guys after the game, after our postgame show, they just rave about the veterans on the team. You know, they just rave about the leadership and how positive everybody's staying in the locker room and encouraging, and how these older guys, even though you know, they could say this was hopeless. They are still trying to pour into the young guys and help them become better pros. So I think they have great guys in the building who won't let, you know, guys just kind of check out and say, well, season's over, you know, pack our bags.
Scott, always appreciate the time, man, and hopefully Black and Gold can pick up a win out west, even though I know they're heavy dogs going into this matchup, but anything can happen in the NFL. We've seen that this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think at this point, you just want to see improvement. You want to see them put together a good, complete game, and let's see the run game come alive. Let's see some good special teams. Defense keep playing like you did last week, and that's really what you're looking for.
You the man, Scott. Appreciate you, man.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champ, also Saints pregame and postgame analyst joining us there. Well, Black and Gold heading to the West Coast this Sunday. And what is it, 13.5-point dogs for this matchup, Charlie?
Yeah, we'll see if that line moves because the news about Chuck came out today. I think Vegas will be kind of stagnant on this, if I had to guess. It might get up to 14, but the jump, we always talk about this, from like 13.5 to 14.5, which more commonly is like 6.5 to 7.5, is pretty seismic. So we'll see what ends up happening with any line movement. We'll be doing pick six on Thursday, as we always do. I'm starting to get hot here a little bit, Steve. It's picking up some wins. I'm excited about that. But the Rams are awesome. This is a great team in the NFC. I mean, Schlereth said top three in the NFC right now.
Right.
If the season ended today, they'd be a six seed, right? Because technically, I think the Seahawks own the tiebreaker over them. They're both 5-2 records right now. And obviously, we have a whole half of the season left to play, so things can change. But if you're talking about the best teams in the entire NFC, the Rams are right there. If they're not one, they're not two, it's hard to go further down the list than like three or four.
Definitely going to need the O-line to eat their Wheaties this week, Charlie. The Rams, number two in the league in sacks right now, and they're just coming off a bye week.
Exactly. They had that dominant performance against Jacksonville across the pond. I think it was in London,
right,
if I'm not mistaken. And so they flew back, and they've had a whole week to prepare. It's a tough challenge.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk, folks. We shall return with even more as we get ready for the Saints Hour. Coming up 7 o'clock with Mike Haas. He'll be joined by VP and Assistant GM Jeff Ireland and also Saints linebacker Isaiah Stallbird. So keep it locked right here. We'll be back with more Sports Talk, though, right after this on WWL. Folks, we know you can't always listen to the entire show live, so Odyssey makes it easy to listen when you want and how you want. Check out the show and WWL Time-Shifted Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Back here on Sports Talk now, going to check out our talk and text line where you can sound off 504-260-1870. Jimmy and Gretna on the line. Jimmy, your ears must have been ringing. Mike D was talking about Southern Miss earlier. Did you catch that?
Charles Huff is a good ball coach, Jimmy.
All right, Charles Huff, I'm not saying he's going to LSU. I can see the Plinko chips where, some raw go from Tulane or maybe Huff goes to Tulane or Virginia Tech. There's going to be a lot of openings. Brian Kelly wasn't the right fit. Well, I wanted to ask Charlie this, you know, while I'm thinking about it, while we kind of got open lines here. Charlie, can I borrow some money, man? I'm trying to go to Paul McCartney tomorrow night at Smoothie King Center.
Oh, yeah?
I know you're making big money from Diane Newman. Come on, buddy. Don't hold out on me.
Well, is that my loss for the UL Southern Miss game? Is that what I got to pay up?
You know what? I think we found our bet. I think we found the payout. That works out fine.
Just come back, Billy. I miss Billy.
Yeah, Charlie. Hey, listen. Yeah, look. Just email me the Paul McCartney ticket. We'll call it even. No, look. In all seriousness, one big Pelicans fan. I didn't go to either of the first two home games due to scheduling issues. But I think we're the worst team in the West already. We're 0-3.
Right.
We have too much talent to be this bad. I know people are crying about Zion missing a game. I'm not that worried about it. I think he's going to, of course, miss some games, but I think he's going to do well this year for his legacy, whether it's here or in the future somewhere else. I'm worried about Willie Green and these third quarter collapses. That's what I call it. I think we kept him 1 year too long. I had high hopes for him at first because he was very defense-oriented, but it seems like he's lost the team in some way similar fashion to Dennis Allen last year, and we kept Dennis Allen too long, 1 year too long. Do you guys think that there's a possibility, unless the first 10 games Sutton changes drastically, that we see a midseason firing and maybe an interim position for an assistant till they figure something out in the offseason? And as far as Shuck's concerned, yes, you've got to give him a sizable amount of games for a sample size so us as the fans, the administration can see what's up with Shuck. Rattler had his hands tied, and look, the pressure is going to be coming up the middle now that McCoy's out. But I want to get your take on Willie Green. Do you guys think he's going to finish out the season as the head coach, or do you think Gail Benson's going to feel pressure to make a move here?
Steve? Well,
things definitely don't look good right now, but it's still very early in the season. I think it's kind of, too young on the start of this to start calling for coaching firings, but I understand where you were coming from, Jimmy, the fact that the team doesn't look inspired right now. I don't know if his message just isn't getting through.
I'll say this, and we said this over the summer when talking about this roster after the season had ended. They gave him a mulligan last year for how bad the season went because of all the injuries and everything that went wrong at the very start of the season where it just kind of mudslid out of control. If they don't turn it around, I am not taking it out of the question. Just being honest. Because
no matter how much the organization likes the guy.
I mean, you've moved on from your first round pick. You have to be at least competitive. And right now the Pelicans,
remind me about that first round pick.
I'm just being honest, Steve. Right now the Pelicans are 0-3. And once again, three games into the season. It's an 82-game season. There's plenty of time to turn it around, but it has not been a good start. And it's, if this continues, you're going to start having to have those conversations.
Taking a break. We'll be back coming up at 7 p.m. the Saints Hour with Mike Hawes, also VP and assistant GM Jeff Ireland, along with Saints linebacker Isaiah Stallbird. You won't want to miss that. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk, folks, as we close things out. If you are going to be tuned into baseball this evening, there's another matchup in the World Series after that marathon last night, Charlie.
And Coach Summerall made a really funny joke about that. He's just like, they're going to have to shoot those players up with drugs to play a day after, what was it, like a seven-hour marathon. It started at, I think, 7 o'clock Central Time, and it finished at basically 2 o'clock. 18-inning game, Steve.
Unreal, yeah. And Ohtani, Shohei Ohtani's been unreal. Last four games, batting .600, 6 home runs, 8 ribbies. Oh, and he's taking the mound tonight, too. What's next for Ohtani?
Nobody roots for the evil empire. Nobody roots for Goliath.
It is impressive to see what this man's doing, though.
No, listen, all respect in the world to Shohei Ohtani, but I will still be rooting for the Blue Jays to somehow tie it up after they got their hearts ripped out last night in L.A. So go Blue Jays, Steve.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. Stay tuned next for the Saints Hour with Mike Hawes, Jeff Ireland, and Isaiah Stallbird. We'll be back tomorrow. Who dat?
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.